Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together to seek to understand what you've got to say to us. Father, I pray that by your word and spirit, you would soften us and stir our hearts, open our eyes to the beauty and the truth of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I remember back to when our kids were first born, one of the many things we had to get used to was the sudden increase in washing and the need to continually change clothes. And it's not just the continual putting on and taking off and putting on and taking off and putting on and taking off of the baby's clothes, but my clothes too. Because you can be guaranteed the minute you put on a nice shirt, you need to dress up for a meeting, you can guarantee moments later there'll be a nice big splodge of baby vomit on your shoulder. Or even worse, now the kids are a bit older, you know, those sticky banana or porridge fingers that smear across your shirt as they kind of put their hands up for a cuddle. Give me baby vomit any day. Some things, of course, can quite easily wipe off, but other things, no matter how hard you try and scrub, it just makes it worse. You need to go back to your wardrobe, take off your clothes, put on some new clothes. Life as a parent of really young kids is this constant shuffle of taking off and putting on and taking off and putting on and taking off and putting on. And no matter how hard I try to just embrace the filth, being covered in vomit and banana and oats and mushed up curry, it's just not who I am. I'm an adult and I just can't go to board meetings with toast crumbs and butter all over my shirt. This is the kind of imagery that Paul uses to describe the Christian life. He talks about the Christian life here in Ephesians 4 as this continual, this ongoing process of putting off unclean behaviors and habits and ways of thinking that don't belong to our new identity and calling in Christ, and putting on fresh, vibrant, clean, holy thought patterns and behaviors that reflect who God has made us to be. Our life as believers is this daily process of taking off and putting on. We're now up to the second half of Ephesians 4 in our sermon series in Ephesians. And in the first three chapters, Paul spent this extensive amount of time addressing our identity as believers. If you've been following along in the series, we've heard all about who we are and the new life that we have in Christ. And then the second three chapters is all about then how to live out our new life. It's much more practical in many ways because what we do, the way we live, flows from who God's made us to be, not the other way around. It's an important distinction because what we do flows from who we are. And so let me just summarize briefly from these first three chapters about who we are in Christ. If you have faith in Christ, if you have your hope in his death and resurrection, if he is Lord of your life, Paul says in Ephesians 1-3, you are the faithful in Christ Jesus. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've been chosen before the foundation of the world. You are holy and blameless. You are God's dearly loved child. You've been given God's glorious grace. You have redemption. You have purpose. You have hope. You're in God's family. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you. You are a saint. You have been made alive in Christ. You've been raised up with Christ into the heavenly realms. God's expressed his kindness to you. You're God's workmanship. You've got peace with God. You've got direct access to God. God's power works in you. You can approach God with freedom and confidence. The height, the width, the depth, and the length of God's love for you is never ending. You've been called. You're being built with those around you into a holy temple, the dwelling place of God. That is who you are. That is what God has done in us. And each one of those things carry huge implications on their own. But know this, when you come to Christ, when you turn away from your old life, when you put your hope and your trust in Jesus, when you accept the fact that he died for you on the cross, that he rose again to give you new life, your whole identity changes. And all those things that Paul says in chapters 1 to 3 are true of you. You don't need to work for that identity. It's not reserved for super spiritual people that you kind of work up to. No, that is what a Christian is. If you believe in Christ and allow him to rule your life, that is who you are. And if you need a real boost sometime, if you need to hear some glorious truths about your identity, read Ephesians 1 to 3. It is amazing. And last week we began looking at the fact that if this is true, if that is who you are, then live like it. And he talks about how we actually live out our lives in this new identity. How do you actually behave like a saint? How do you think and act in a way that is holy and blameless? How do you work to maintain the unity of God's church? And last week we saw in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Paul is saying you've got this new identity, now live it. And then in the very first verse of today's reading, from verse 17, he says, "I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord." Like, he's really adamant about this. "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." Now remember, most of the recipients of this letter are Gentiles, and he's saying, don't live like one anymore. That's not who you are. That's your old life. That's your old identity. You're now a Christian, and so live like a Christian. And so then very helpfully for a three-point sermon, in verse 22, he gives three steps. Three steps to living your new life in Christ. In fact, these three steps are so easy to remember. They're as easy to remember as getting up and dressed in the morning. Step one, take off your old way of life. Step two, have your mind renewed. And step three, put on your new way of life. Verse 22, Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires." Paul is saying you've got a new identity now. You're not who you once were, so get rid of your old life. Take it off. A life without Christ at the center is futile. He says from verse 18, he says, "Those without Christ are darkened in their understanding. They live a life separated from God. Their hearts are hardened, their mindset is confused." And when you live without your identity in Christ, it plays out in real and practical ways. Verse 19, "They've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." When all of life is not all about Jesus, all of life becomes all about us. Our own self-fulfillment, our own pleasure, our own desires, our own greed, our own power, our own way of doing things. We might like to think that we're good people, but ultimately, all of life is all about us. Paul is saying, don't fall back into those patterns of your old way of life before you knew Christ. You're not like everybody else now. You've got a new identity. All of life is not all about you. All of life is all about Jesus. And so live it. And So anything which belongs to the old way, gossip, slander, coveting, selfishness, greed, jealousy, pride, all those things that do not accord to the way God wants us to live must be actively taken off. This isn't an automatic or an easy process for us as humans. Now, when you get up out of bed, your pajamas don't just fall off, unless there's something wrong with them. And your daytime clothes don't just attach themselves. When you get up in the morning, you've actually got to go through a process of unbuttoning your top, putting the effort into taking your arm out of the sleeves. You can't just pray that your pajamas come off. You can't just hope that suddenly you're going to get dressed into some new clothes. In the same way, right, our old way of life, the sin that we wrestle with doesn't just disappear. Now, sometimes in God's grace and mercy, there might be areas of our lives that become a lot easier than others, but Paul here is describing this active and involved process of ridding yourself of sin in the grace of God. It's making hard and costly decisions to take off your old way of life. It's holding your tongue before speaking, even though you so desperately want to say something that's going to sting. It's making a real mental effort to stop the gossip. It's physically removing yourself from a situation where you might be tempted to engage in sexual immorality. It's putting in the hard yards to be accountable to other people. It's actively logging into your bank account and giving away money to those who need it so that your heart is less dependent on your wealth. Taking off the old self is an active process, not a passive process. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't just wish for things to change. It takes effort. It takes courage. It requires decisiveness. It requires prayer and accountability. It requires us to depend on the grace of God to rid ourselves of those things that don't accord with our new identity. This isn't about working for our salvation. Remember, chapters 1 to 3, we've already got this glorious new identity. Jesus has died for our sins. He has saved us. He's risen again. But now we live like it. And so we live in this active and engaged process of taking off that which does not accord with our new identity. What do you need to take off? What sins have you kind of just given into and given up on? What do you need to take off? That's step one. Step two is in verse 23. He says, be renewed in the attitude of your minds. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you've taken off your pajamas. Many people then have their shower, right? They're renewed, they refresh, they return again and again every morning to the thing that makes you clean and ready and restored and revitalized. And Paul here, as he talks about this process, he doesn't only say put off and put on. There's a middle step in the middle. It's this process of the renewal of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. The way that we think about things needs to be refreshed. We need to be reminded by God's Spirit and God's Word about who we are and what God has done for us, because changed behavior comes from a changed mind. And surely the renewal of our minds has to come from going back again and again to God and His Word. Reading it, seeking to understand it, allowing it to shape us as we root ourselves in the Word of God, as we pray about things, as we see afresh what God has done for us in Christ, as we examine ourselves, as we as we think about ourselves and how God is at work in us, our minds are renewed. We're reminded that we're a new creation, that the gospel has indeed set us free. We've been, God is at work in us by his Spirit. And when our thinking changes, our behavior changes. If I think in my mind, for example, that I'm better than everybody else, then my behavior is going to follow, isn't it? My behavior will be belittling. I'll talk down to people. I won't care how I speak. But if my mind is being renewed by Christ, who says, love one another, think of others as better than yourselves, lay down your life for others. If I go back to him and his word and have my mind renewed, it's only then we can put on our new self and treat people the way Christ calls us to live. When we have our mind renewed, then we have the energy and the power to bring our behavior back into line, off with the old and on with the new. Which brings us to the final step, step 3, verse 24. Put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we've taken off the old self, we've had our mind renewed. That is then when we put on our new selves and live the lives we were created to live. Now, once again, it's this active process, isn't it? Putting on. Clothes don't just magically attach to you. Putting off clothes takes effort. Putting on clothes takes effort as well. In the Old Testament, this language of putting on was a sign that redemption and renewal had come. In the book of Isaiah and in Psalms as well, we're told that God clothes us with righteousness. It's that image of being an old person and a new person, isn't it? If you're clothed with something, you've got this new look, this new identity. If you believe in Christ, your identity has changed. You're a new person. And Paul's been talking about it for 3 chapters. And so our thoughts, words, and deeds are to reflect who we now are as we put on our new self. Paul then gives the Ephesians a bunch of very practical ways to live, which are quite self-explanatory, I think, but I'll go through them briefly. I wonder, though, as we go through them, which one God is getting your attention with. Verse 25, put off lying and falsehood, and speak truth to one another. You need to stop deceiving people. Verse 26, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. It's okay to be angry, but don't let it consume you, and don't let yourself stay angry for long. Paul says, don't give the devil a foothold. Verse 28, put off stealing and instead work and share with people. Are you living through dishonest gain? You might not be going to the supermarket and stealing products to eat for dinner, but are you doing the wrong thing by your taxes? Are you stealing from the government? Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. That's a hard one, isn't it? And verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, all malice. but instead put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. In every aspect of our lives, each and every day, we're to put off behavior and thinking which reflects our old way of life, have our minds renewed by God, and then put on our new way of life. Three simple steps. So easy to say, but so hard to do. And it's so hard because familiar old clothes are comfortable. I feel that more and more the older I get. You get used to the old clothes that you like to wear. You pull out the same shirt, the same pants again and again and again. Putting on the right clothes. Putting on new, fresh clothes. Takes effort. It might be uncomfortable to begin with. Making conscious and repeated decisions about what you're going to clothe yourself in as a Christian is hard. It can sometimes feel good to go back to our old way of life, uncomfortable. It can feel good to have a go at someone behind their back. It can feel good to build as much wealth as you can. It can be easy to ignore the needs of this world. It can be very difficult to rid yourself of that, to have your mind renewed and put your new clothes on. But as we make a habit of it day by day, saying no to the old way, looking to Christ and then putting on his ways, God willing, it will eventually become slightly easier each time. As you get up in the morning tomorrow, pray that God will give you the strength to take off your old way of life. Spend some time searching your heart for the things that need to change. As you step into the shower, dwell on the gospel message and be reminded that you have been cleansed from your sin. You have a new way of living. And as you put on your clothes for the day, ask God to help you put on your new self as you walk and live in the new identity he's given you. Would you please stand as we pray together? Father, as your Spirit moves among us, would you bring to mind those things that you're calling us to take off? Convict us of sin. Lord, this passage particularly lists lying, falsehood, anger, stealing, unwholesome talk, bitterness. Father, those behaviors don't reflect who we're called to be. Give us the resolve today to actively remove these things from our lives, to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, and to put on the behaviors of truthfulness, generosity, encouragement, words that build one another up, and forgiveness. Father, strengthen us by your Spirit to walk in ways that please and honor you in our new and glorious identity in Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.